Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, December the 2nd, amid the destruction and uncertainty of war, the city of Bethlehem ushers in the Christmas season with prayers for peace. Romania's pro-EU and pro-NATO parties appear to be holding off a far-right candidate as the votes for Sunday's parliamentary election are counted. But first, the Apostolic Nuncio in Syria speaks of the fear of the people as Syrian and Russian jets intensify air attacks on Idlib and Aleppo. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Syrian and Russian jets have intensified air attacks in Idlib city and positions in Aleppo as the government of President Bashar al-Assad tries to slow the advance of opposition fighters. The raids on Monday followed big gains by the opposition over the past few days that has greatly shifted the front line in Syria's long-running war. Opposition fighters are still on the outskirts of Hama, south of Aleppo, Syria's most populous city that was captured by jihadist rebels on November the 30th. Elsewhere, they have seized most of the city of Tel Rifat, where Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces are calling for a humanitarian corridor to allow Kurds to safely evacuate. Speaking to Vatican News, Cardinal Mario Zenari, the Apostolic Nuncio to Syria, shared the fear, anxiety and uncertainty of the Christian community in Aleppo. As Stephen Watkins reports, the Nuncio lamented the lack of hope in Syria, as many young people only want to find a way out of the country.
Hope is dead in Syria, and people only wish to escape. After 14 years of conflict, extreme poverty, international sanctions, an earthquake, and a new wave of violence. That's according to Cardinal Mario Zenari, the Italian-born cardinal who has served as the Apostolic Nuncio to Syria for over 16 years. Speaking to Vatican News, Cardinal Zenari expressed deep concern over the capture of Aleppo on November 30th. Syria's second-largest city is completely outside the control of the Syrian government and in the hands of jihadist rebels. Over 350 people are dead, with thousands already displaced, a number expected to rise. Cardinal Zenari said the city's bishops, priests and religious have promised to stay in Aleppo alongside the faithful. There is also a lot of fear, he said. Government offices have disappeared, the army is nowhere to be seen, and armed groups are roaming, having promised not to harm civilians. So far, he added, they have kept to this promise. Cardinal Zenari said the latest flare-up in violence will likely reignite the desire in young people to leave in search of a more peaceful country. Over one half of Syria's pre-war population have already been displaced in the civil war, with over 6 million living abroad. People, especially the youth, said the cardinal, have lost hope for the country's future. There is no sign of reconstruction, no economic recovery, and no work. Despite the darkness of the situation facing Syrians, Cardinal Zenari expressed hopes that the Jubilee of Hope may bring a breath of fresh air. Cardinal Zenari concluded the interview with an appeal to the international community to take action to prevent more conflict in Syria before the situation escalates. Otherwise, he said, we will find ourselves trying to fix the broken pieces after everything has already shattered. I'm Devin Watkins.
Over 300 people have been killed and at least 15,000 displaced from their homes in the conflict between the Syrian regime and anti-government forces, a conflict that dates back more than a decade. One of the buildings left damaged in the wake of the violence is the Franciscan complex of the Holy Land College in Aleppo, which was bombed in a Russian attack on December the 1st. Kelsey Gussie has this report.
Located in an intersection of the monastery, the college is close to the church, where Mass was scheduled to be celebrated in the evening of December 1st. In a statement, the Custos of the Holy Land, Father Francesco Paton, affirmed there were no casualties or injuries and only the building was damaged. He reported all the friars and parish members were doing well and that the Franciscan Curia is in constant contact with them. Father Patton also reported the community feels a growing tension and fear among the civilian population of Aleppo regarding the unpredictable developments of the ongoing confrontation. He urged all Christians in the Holy Land and all churches to come together in prayer for peace in Syria, which he described has been ravaged by long years of war and violence. The college was just one of the many places damaged in Aleppo, one of the oldest cities in the world, following the eruption of violence 5 days ago. Dating back 12 years, the Syrian civil war began as a political conflict between pro-democracy demonstrators and government forces. With this new advance by jihadist rebels opposed to the country's president, activists from the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights confirmed that for the first time since 2012, Aleppo has been overrun by rebels. Since the violence reignited on November 27th, more than 300 people have been killed and at least 15,000 people displaced from their homes, according to the United Nations reports. These figures are expected to rise as rebel forces have entered the Hama region in Syria. The UN has also begun evacuations from Aleppo to Damascus. Some residents of Aleppo shared via WhatsApp that they continue to hope as they live day to day, wondering when they will no longer live in this dramatic situation. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Meanwhile, despite the ongoing Israeli war against Hamas that continues to cause death and destruction in Gaza and throughout the occupied Palestinian territories, the Custos of the Holy Land, Father Francisco Patton, marked the annual tradition of entering Bethlehem to preside over the first Advent Sunday Mass in the Church of St. Catherine, which is adjacent to the Basilica of the Nativity. Francesco Patton brought a message of hope amid hardship and war, echoing Pope Francis's call to make the upcoming Jubilee year 2025 a celebration of hope.
It was a poignant moment for the people of Bethlehem, who are facing their second Christmas amid ongoing war and economic hardships. Tourism, a vital source of livelihood, has vanished since the outbreak of the war on the 7th of October, leaving the Basilica of the Nativity empty, local businesses closed, and residents who are unable to cross the separation wall to work in Jerusalem with no income to survive on. The atmosphere in Bethlehem is grim, though new recent efforts to revive the deadlocked negotiations for Gaza ceasefire and the release of Israeli hostages leave a glimmer of hope that this could be the last Advent in wartime. Father Patton emphasized this hope on Saturday, urging the faithful in Bethlehem not to give in to despair, echoing Pope Francis' call to make the upcoming Jubilee year a celebration of hope. He encouraged them to remain steadfast in hope during this Christmas season, despite hardships. In the face of evil and this horrific war, we have no choice but to hold our gaze high, he said. Father Patton reiterated this call as he addressed nearly 1,000 faithful attending the Advent Mass on Sunday. During the liturgy, the Custos shared the testimony of Suhaila Abu Dawood, one of the hundreds of displaced Palestinians sheltering in the Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza. The young man wrote a column for the Osservatore Romano in which he describes how, under the most terrible bombings, he felt safe because he was in a church praying with other Christians. This attitude of vigilant and grateful prayer, Father Patton concluded, is important for keeping hope alive. We must lift our gaze to Jesus, who is coming, and not despair when evil strikes, he said. I am Lisa Zengarini.
Romania's pro-European Union and pro-NATO parties appear to be holding off the far right in a parliamentary election held on Sunday. But the strength of the radical vote suggests that an ultra-nationalist pro-Russian candidate could still win the presidency next week. Stefan Boss reports that the ruling party received the most ballots.
With most ballots counted, initial results showed Romania's ruling Social Democratic Party, PSD, winning with roughly 22.3% of the vote, followed by the far-right Alliance for the Unity of Romanians with about 18%. Analysts said Prime Minister Marcel Ciolacu's PSD must form a coalition to govern that could include the centre-right National Liberal Party, its current governing partner, and others. However, the victory of pro-EU and pro-NATO forces was welcome news for voters such as Durian Purcea, a marketing specialist. As a person who lived a little bit under communism and still remembers it, and at the same time could enjoy all this openness of the European Union to travel, to have the borders open, to be able to go to other countries, I can't imagine how we could have another option other than being part of the EU and NATO military alliance, she says. However, the outcome was due to be welcomed in Brussels. Romania, an EU and NATO member state, has a 650-kilometer or 400-mile border with Ukraine and plays a crucial role in Western support for Kiev. In addition to providing military aid to the war-torn nation, Romania allowed the export of millions of tons of Ukrainian grain through its Black Sea port of Constanta. There has been Western concern that a pro-Russia candidate, Talin Kiorscu, secured a shock victory in the first round of Romania's presidential ballot the previous week. Yet Romania's constitutional court ordered a ballot recount for the first round of the presidential election after an allegation of fraud from one of the 13 candidates. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
At least 56 people have been killed in a crush at a football match in Guinea's second largest city, Nzérékoré. The government says some reports indicate that events unraveled following a decision by the referee who sent off two players from the visiting team and awarded a controversial penalty kick. It's feared that many children are among the victims. And finally, the Archdiocese of Bangalore in India has launched an initiative to provide a safe shelter for migrants with the Migrants Reception and Short Stay Centre. Florina Joseph has more.
The Archdiocese of Bangalore has initiated the Migrants Reception and Short Stay Centre to offer shelter to migrants, marking a milestone in its mission of service and inclusivity. The centre is located in Mathigare near Yeshwantpur railway station, making it easily accessible for those in need. Bangalore, the capital of Karnataka in India, is home to a considerable migrant population, with nearly half of the city's residents being migrants. Recognizing this reality, the Archdiocese has invested in this critical cause by establishing the shelter. On the 1st of December, Archbishop Leopoldo Ghirelli, Apostolic Nuncio to India and Nepal, blessed the foundation stone of the centre. He expressed appreciation for the project, describing it as a commendable effort to uphold the dignity of migrants. He said, "The Archdiocese of Bangalore is truly living out the Indian cultural ethos of Atithi Devo Bhava, which means a guest is a kin of God, while aligning with Pope Francis's vision of addressing the needs of migrants." Archbishop Peter Machado of Bangalore Archdiocese, reflecting on the initiative's significance, said, "Migrants are not just individuals in transit. They are our brothers and sisters seeking hope and opportunities." He said, "This migrant center is a step toward affirming their dignity and showing them the love of Christ through our actions." The project stands as a testament to the Church's mission to care for the marginalized and vulnerable, and a reminder of the enduring call to love and serve others with compassion. I'm Sister Florina Joseph, SCN.
That's all for this edition of Vatican and World News. Thanks to Bruno Orti in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bodoni. Bye-bye.